Last week, as all of you were here, I began by showing you a photo of someone, and probably very few of you knew who it was. Similarly, I'm going to begin today's message, and perhaps this person will be more familiar to you, okay? This, of course, is Johnny Erickson Tada. She is an author, a radio host. She is the founder of a ministry called Johnny and Friends, which is an organization that reaches out to those who are part of the disability community. She lived a very active life in her early years. She enjoyed horseback riding and hiking and tennis and swimming. On July 30th, 1967, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay after misjudging the shallowness of the water. She suffered a fracture between her fourth and fifth cervical levels and became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. During her years of rehabilitation, 2 years of rehabilitation, according to her autobiography, Johnny said she experienced anger, depression, suicidal thoughts, and had great doubts about God and his love for her. However, during occupational therapy, she learned to paint with a paintbrush between her teeth and began selling artwork. She also writes in the same way, although today with technology, she relies mostly on voice recognition software. To date, she has written over 40 books, recorded several musical albums, starred in an autobiographical movie of her life, and is a strong advocate for people with disabilities. Johnny Erickson Tada knows the answer to the question, why? Why does God allow sickness and suffering? Because she would never be the person she is, or never have the ministry she has, or the impact on so many people if she did not experience sickness and suffering herself. Many of us wrestle with difficulties in life. And sooner or later, we are faced with a why question. And it's often a big why. Why does God allow this? We're at lesson number 6 in this study, but we're at sermon number 3 addressing the very same question. Why does God allow sickness and suffering? God is a loving and gracious God. Why would he allow this? Well, so far in the previous weeks, I've given you some answers. All of those sermons are available on our website. They're also available on Spotify. But today, before I move into answers number 7 and 8, and there are just going to be 7 and 8, if you would look at your outline in the bulletin, there's almost a half a page for notes. And that's because if you have not been with us, I need to bring you up to speed or you won't have all the answers to that question, why does God allow sickness and suffering? For those of you that were here all of those weeks, the review won't hurt you any more than it hurts me, okay? So here we go. Reason number 1 is this. Sickness and suffering is the result of original sin. I mean, really, that's where it came from in the first place. When God created all that he created, on every day of creation, God said his creation was good. And on the day that he created Adam and Eve, or mankind, he said his creation was very good. It also tells us in the scriptures that God created Adam and Eve in his image. And that means we have qualities and abilities that other parts of his creation do not have. Like God, we have emotion, we have intellect, and we have will. We have a free will. We are able to make our own choices, both good and bad. We are able to think for ourselves. We can choose to love God. We can choose to not love God. We can choose to obey God. We can choose to disobey God. But all that God created was good. But with that perfect creation, God gave some commands, and Adam and Eve, tempted by Satan, absolutely gave in, and they chose to disobey God. Now, the scripture tells us that when that occurred, everything God created was forever infected by sin. And God pronounced judgment on the serpent, on the earth itself, on Adam and on Eve. And that judgment is part of what we experience today. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, theoretically, they would have lived eternally because there was no sickness, because there was no death. There was no aging, okay? None of that was present in that perfect state before sin entered the world. But as a result of man's disobedience, man's choice, and not God's choice, sin entered the world and everything has been marred by sin. Now people will say, oh well, you know, like why did God create people with a free will in the first place? Okay? But just imagine this. God created you, God created me, and all of mankind for relationship. What kind of a relationship would he have if we had no choice but to love him? That we were just merely a puppet on a string, that we had no choice. That really wouldn't be love at all. So God, because of how he created us, gives us that ability to choose to love him or not to love him. That is how sin came into the world and everything is affected. So the sickness and sin and death and all of those things came by that disobedience, by the original sin. Now, reason number two, also on the screen, says sickness and suffering may be the result of the sin of others. It did not take long before one person lost their life at the hand of another. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve conceived. They had children. Two of the sons they had were named Cain and Abel. They both offered sacrifices to God. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He rejected Cain's sacrifice. And Cain became so outraged and angry, he murdered his brother. So one suffered and died as the result of the actions of another. Now, all you need to do is pick up a newspaper, wherever you read news, maybe on the internet, wherever it might be, there's acts of violence everywhere, all right? In addition to that, there are many, many individuals who suffer abuse in various situations. We know that there are many children who are neglected and not given the proper care that they should be receiving from their loved ones, from their parents. And so there's lots of individuals that experience suffering, and it has nothing to do with themselves. It is not their own fault. It is not God's will for these abusive and destructive behaviors to exist. Again, because we have a free will, there are those that will choose to do those violent things. It is sad, it is tragic, but it is not God's fault. We cannot blame God. Third, we said, sickness and suffering may be the result of our own sinful choices. You know, if we know something that is harmful for us or potentially harmful to us, and we choose to do it anyway, and we experience sickness and suffering because of that, is that God's fault or our own fault, right? So many times our own choices get us in trouble. Maybe we make choices to do things that we know are destructive to ourselves. Not God's fault. Absolutely not. Then we looked at three more answers last week. And reason four, we said God may allow sickness and suffering to fulfill his purposes. There is always a reason why things occur. God allows sickness and suffering, and many times it is to fulfill his purpose. I did not leave the scripture in, but I want to just review with you. In John chapter 9, there was an account where a man who was blind from birth was miraculously given sight by Jesus. That man had no faith. He did not even know who Jesus was when Jesus restored his sight. But I want to mention that Jesus' disciples, when they saw this man who was blind from birth, they said, okay, whose fault is it? Did his parents sin? Did he sin? And Jesus said, neither. This man is blind so that the works of God might be displayed. God allowed that man to be born blind so Jesus could come along and display his power to restore sight to one who never had sight at all. You see, God sometimes allows sickness and suffering to fulfill his purpose. He is always working for good, and we need to understand that. And I did leave this verse in because I think we need to understand the nature and character of God is revealed here. Because in Romans 8:28 it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." My friend, I don't know what you're going through right now, and you may not see the good right now. In fact, you may never see the good on this side of heaven. Okay, let's be honest with each other. But because who God is and because of his character, whatever he is allowing to go on in fulfilling his purpose in your life, it is for good. Yes, a loving God can allow experiences of sickness and suffering to fulfill his plan. And we think, well, really? Really? What kind of God would do that? Let me tell you, the same God who allowed his only son to experience sickness and suffering to fulfill his plan of redemption. You see, we needed a savior. We needed someone who could redeem us from the penalty of sin. And all the way back when sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, God promised that he was going to send a redeemer. He was going to send one. And God sent his son. And to fulfill his plan of redemption, God allowed his own son to experience cruelty, abuse, punishment, and ultimately to die by the cruelest form of death. He did so to fulfill his purpose for you and for me. And we would say, thank God he did, or we would be lost forever. Reason number five. God may allow sickness and suffering to lovingly correct us. You see, it might be hard for us to grasp that unless we really understand the principle of discipline. Those of you who are parents know that sometimes you need to discipline your kids. That doesn't mean you beat the tar out of them. It means you discipline them, right? Discipline is loving. It is not abusive. When done properly. It is not a form of hate. It is a form of love. In fact, the Bible says that if we love our children, we will discipline them. And if we don't discipline and train our children, it's because we actually hate them. So if we take that same principle and say, well, you know, if God doesn't correct us or discipline us, he must hate us. But he loves us. And just as a loving parent will correct their child, God will lovingly correct us at times. And there's a reason for that. There was a whole bunch of verses in Psalm 19 I shared with you last week, but I saved one. Just one. And that is verse 67. Where the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. God corrected him with affliction and brought that individual back to obedience. Is it hard to comprehend or accept that a loving God will allow sickness or suffering to discipline us? Well, we must know this. If he does, it is never to harm us or to hurt us. It is always done to help us because he loves us. Same way in which we would discipline our own parents. God is a good God even if he allows sickness and suffering to lovingly correct us. Now that was a big gulp, all right? Number 6 says, God may allow sickness and suffering to shape us and mature us. You know, your own children, you have to kind of let them experience some things. Why? So they learn, right? You know, you have to allow them to make some mistakes so they learn to make better choices on their own. You know, God allows us sometimes to experience difficulties. And if we handle them in a godly way, they will make us better. They will grow us up. They will make us more mature, right? We grow in those deep, dark places sometimes. When God takes us out of our comfort zones, that is a place where we grow. And sometimes God allows sickness and suffering in our lives just to shape us, to mold us, to equip us, to make us a stronger person, to make us a better equipped person. And we'll kind of talk about that a little bit more in the next 2 points. So here's the 2 new ones for today. And that is this. In reason number 7, God may allow sickness and suffering to strengthen our relationship with him. Let me back it up with Scripture. Portion of Scripture here from 2 Corinthians. It says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God. There's the nugget right there. Learn to rely on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. So sometimes God allows suffering and difficulty and trials in our lives so that we learn to rely fully on him. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we keep forgetting that we need to be dependent on God. Instead, we depend on ourselves. And let's face it, we face a trial, we face a difficulty, we face a speed bump in our life. What do? We try to handle it. I got it. I can handle this. I got it under control. And when we come to the end of our own resources, what do? God, please help me, right? We ought to do that first and not last, let me say. But sometimes God allows those things to strengthen our relationship with him, to teach us humble dependence on him, to remind us that we're not as independent as we think we are. You know, when everything's going wonderful, it's easy to drift a little bit, to drift a little bit. And sometimes when we face that adversity in life, all of a sudden we go back and we cling to God. Because God will sometimes use sickness and suffering to strengthen our relationship with him. Let me give you another example from the life of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh. We don't really know exactly what that is. We could guess he wasn't playing in the rose bushes and has a thorn in his flesh. But he's talking about something that he has, a messenger from Satan to torment him and to keep him from becoming proud. He says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That is why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My friends, it's likely that you have been in situations, and I know that I have been in situations, when you could see difficulty beginning to unfold. And I said, Lord, I have no idea how I'm going to get through this. I have no idea how I am going to deal with this. And I, like you, had a choice. I could sit there and say, Lord, how dare you? I did this for you. I did that for you. Or I could recognize that the only thing I could do was fall into his arms and allow him to lead and to be with me through whatever it was that I had to get through. You know, we've all been in those situations. We learn to depend on God. Sometimes we say, Lord, I'm only going to make it through the day if you're going to help me. Or maybe all we can say is, Lord, I just need to get through the next hour, whatever that hour has in store. But I'll do it, Lord, if you will help me. Or sometimes an hour is even too much to think about. Lord, I rely on you just to get me through the next couple of minutes. You see, when tragedy strikes, it has a way of immediately changing our priorities. You think about that, okay? How your priorities change. You know, you might say, oh, well, you know, today I'm gonna get this done around the house, and I'm going to prepare this, and I'm going to get that done, and then we're going to go here, and we're going to go there. And then you get that dreaded phone call, and something went wrong somewhere. All of a sudden, going to dinner wasn't important anymore. You might not even remember to eat for a couple days. All those things change very rapidly. That's what happens. But what we need to realize is that God may allow those things in our lives because he wants us to be dependent on him. Sometimes we have to find out that we ourselves are powerless. And in that sickness and suffering, all we can literally do is bury our face on his shoulder and allow him to put his arms around us and to support us and to encourage us. Sometimes God allows sickness and suffering to strengthen our relationship with him. But there's another reason, and that's number 8. God may allow sickness and suffering to strengthen our relationship with others. You see, when people are suffering, it is our responsibility, it is our privilege to come alongside of them and to minister to them, to care for them, to pray for them, and to comfort them. That's what it's about. You see, in 2 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have ourselves received from God. You see, because we learn to rely on God, and God provides his strength, God provides his comfort, God helps us to endure, when someone else is going through a similar situation, it is God's intention that as part of the church body or part of the church family, that we come alongside of those individuals. And we offer the comfort that we have received. You know, if you've experienced some kind of a loss of a loved one, you know how meaningful that is for you to come alongside of someone else in that same time and say, I know how you feel. And boy, those words mean a whole lot because they know somebody walked through that same valley and they came out on the other side. It's so important for people to understand that and for the body of Christ to do that. God wants us to be part of a church, part of a body, because we are like God and we're relational. We need a relationship with Him, but we also need a relationship with one another. You know, in my Membership Matters growth group the other day, we talked about connection. And we talked about all the one another's in the New Testament. And you know, there are, depending on translations, there are at least 59 one another's in the New Testament. And for, you're going to be very happy. I'm not going to read any of them to you except one. And that is this one. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The truth is, when one of us hurts, everybody should hurt. When one of us is facing a difficulty, everyone should be there facing that difficulty with us. And that is so important. That is, you know, and those are the things you don't forget. You just will never forget. You know, the day that my first wife passed away, I was there in a waiting room for people who had traumatic brain injuries, because that's where they put her. And at one point, I looked around that room. There were 16 people in that room. They were there for me. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget who those people are. And God sometimes uses difficulties to remind us of how much we need each other. And it is a great privilege that we have to be able to come alongside of people and to minister to them. And sometimes God allows sickness and difficulty and loss so that we can rally around each other and help one another and support one another. You know, sooner or later, every one of us is going to face a difficulty. But I'm thankful for this church family, who provides support and encouragement to people when it matters the most. And many of you are really good at that. And thank God you are. So we looked at 8 reasons. And I suppose if I wanted to really drag this and stretch this on, I could probably come up with a few more. But I'm not going to. All right? This is an age-old question. Why would a loving... Oops, sorry, Kyle, you need to take me back. Why would a loving God allow sickness and suffering? I gave you 8 reasons, but take a look at this.
I know your story. I've read it cover to cover. And I know the storms that will come. The waves will swell and the sky will darken. Though you'll fight against the current, you'll be swept away. You'll feel helpless and abandoned, and you'll wonder where I am in the midst of it all. I know this isn't the way you thought our relationship would work, but my plans are not for my comfort or yours. My purposes are always and only an expression of love. The scars in my hands are proof that love will sometimes lead you directly into the storm. Though you can't understand my plans, you can trust in one thing, that I am entirely good. You can't even imagine how good I am, and my plan for you is no different. When you shout asking where I am, know that I am right behind you, with my arms wrapped tightly around you, whispering, I will never let go. For you are the pinnacle of my creation and the center of my affection. There will come a day when I will quiet every storm and wipe away every tear. In that day, there will be no more pain or death. But until that day comes, I will be your anchor in this storm.
God may allow sickness and suffering in our lives. It is never to harm us. It is never to hurt us. Instead, it is to help us. He will always be with us. He will never abandon us. He'll be right there in that storm. And what we need to remember is, when it's all over, when this life is over, if we've trusted in Christ as our Savior, we will be set free from that curse of sin. We will spend eternity in a place of unspeakable glory, a place where there is no sickness, no suffering, no death, no crying, and no tears. So, question one, how could your understanding of these reasons answer why? Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Draw near to Him. And then lastly, can you trust a God who is loving and merciful even if He allows suffering and sickness? My friends, if He allows it, it is never to harm us. It is never to hurt us. And it is always, always loving. Father, we're grateful today for Your Word and for the answers to this plaguing and nagging question in our lives. Lord, thank You for addressing those in Your Word and giving us hope in spite of difficulty. In Jesus' name, amen.